May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit. Today is the Sunday known as Last Epiphany. Now, it would be a mistake to infer from that title that there are no more revelations, no more ways in which God shows himself to us. Of course, the liturgical calendar doesn't really suggest that. It's simply a way of saying that this is the last in a series of revelations the church wants to emphasize at this point, before we enter into the time of preparation for Easter, known as Lent. The event with which we end the season of Epiphany is the Transfiguration. The nearly unbearable shining of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, compare the beginning of this series of epiphanies with its ending. The first epiphany of this season actually begins at Christmas, with the birth of Christ. The simple, sweet sight of an infant lying in a manger, heralded by a choir of angels, and witnessed by a group of visiting shepherds. What could be more welcoming, more inviting, more joyous? The last epiphany of this season is the Transfiguration, the brief parting of the curtain between our Lord's human face and the majestic shining of the very glory of God in a face both intimately familiar and mysteriously different. What could be more life-changing, more inspiring? Peter's response to the Transfiguration is to try to capture it, even going so far as to suggest that they should try to build a monument to it, a structure of some sort. Now, Peter has what I like to call as an Oedipus complex. But we can no more freeze the glory of God in the flux of the created world than we can freeze the innocence of our childhoods. Just as Jesus had to grow up into his maturity, so must Peter, James, and John leave behind the familiar comfort of knowing Jesus only as their friend and their rabbi for the discomforting sight, the fully revealed power of his majesty. For now, there is momentous work to be done, a road to Jerusalem to be walked, a cross on which to be raised, and to which to succumb, and finally, to overcome. All we can do at moments like this is to fall on our knees for a brief moment, then get up and walk dazedly down the mountainside. The Transfiguration is not just for the benefit of the disciples. It's for our benefit as well. We need to know that our Lord is more than our friend and our teacher. He is also the very presence of the glory of God with us, who shatters all our perceptions, all our expectations, who sweeps aside death itself in the attainment of his purpose. To journey then with Jesus is to see more than the struggles of careworn disciples as they travel from one town to another to preach the coming of his kingdom. It's also about standing in the light of Christ. It's about basking in his glory, however briefly, before we are forced to our knees in the unbearable brightness of it. We come away from the transfiguration with a confident knowledge that even in the darkest moments of isolation and struggle, the light of Christ has come to us and can never be extinguished. We too are transfigured by our journey with Christ. In baptism, we share in Jesus' death and resurrection. We made into his image, we take on a new identity as children of God and brothers and sisters of a king. In his victory over death, we are given sure and certain knowledge of eternal life. Even the ordinary things of day-to-day life are transformed by his presence with us. Simple bread and wine at the altar become for us the body and the blood of life without limits. Week after week, we are renewed for heavenly purposes by what began life in soil and dirt. The transfiguration benefits us as much as it did the disciples. We too are heading into a wilderness road that will take us through Lent to that terrible day of wrath known as Good Friday. Let the light of the glory of God on the mountain in the face of Jesus illumine our steps that we take through the darkness each of us must go through on the way to our own resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.